Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
On a Go Status,
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! Hour number two of the big show. One in the books, two still to go. Clever little Nick there. Nick is here. I'm here. Raheel is here for Barry, who is in Wichita, Kansas, doing comedy. I believe he drove today, if I'm not mistaken, Nicholas.
I think so, yeah. So he's probably en route or almost there. I don't know how long a drive is to Kansas or to Wichita.
I think he said like 6 or 7 hours.
Man. And you can't fly there, right?
I mean, you can, right?
I think it would be more, though.
No, but I think it's real. You gotta go. Because Lance said when he used to go to Kansas, he would have to go to Denver and then drive anyways.
Denver?
Yeah. That's what I said. Yeah. And he goes, no, it's faster that way.
A closer major city that you can then, even if you have to fly in and then rent a car, drive an hour.
It's Kansas.
It's 9 hours, according to the Googles. Driving distance.
Very, I respect.
What's the nearest major city where there's an airport, Nick?
I know it's a 6 hour drive to OKC from Houston. How far is that?
Like, that seems
I'm
excessive.
Sure there. I mean, like Wichita probably it has an airport, but I don't know how many commercial flights go to Wichita for an affordable price.
Yeah,
right?
Like can you get a direct flight from Houston or do you have to go through Atlanta or some bizarre? Yeah. That was always a crazy thing to me. I wanted to fly from Houston to Milwaukee. And you either had to go, a lot of times you went through Detroit, but then they would go, well, no, you have to go through Atlanta or Denver. And I'm like, it's way out of the way. Why would I have to do that?
That's why I just take the PJ. So much easier.
Puddle jumper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much easier.
Well, but the Detroit flight still involved a puddle jumper.
You got to take the PJ. No, go direct PJ, man. Come on, Joel. You're making The Usual Suspect money.
Right, which is why I take the bus. Okay, so Mark is on hold. He wants to talk about Ginobili before we turn the page on that. Mark, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, so, I mean, I'm a lifelong Houston fan, Houston Rockets fan, true fan, you know, and I have a hatred for the Spurs and the Mavericks like no other, right? And Ginobili was that first player from either team where I'm like, yo, I enjoyed watching this guy, hands down. Like, I just enjoyed watching how competitive he was. I watched them in those Olympics in 2004, you know, when they were on their run, especially with Scola and Delfino and Cerrone, I think it was the other guy. And, yeah, he's a great competitor and great basketball player. And yeah, mm-hmm. I think he's a surefire Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he'll get in.
Appreciate the call, Mark. Yeah, I mean, look, I think the other thing is it's like you can go back and say, well, Yao Ming – is in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Yao's career was obviously cut short by injury, but when you look at the body of work of what he did when he was playing for the Chinese national team, and then when you look at what he did as an ambassador for the game, creating international attention for basketball and all the things that he did, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, when the Beijing Olympics were happening in 2008, his first game, it was against Team USA. It was China Team USA.
Right.
And you could see that he was so exhausted because he was doing so many things as just an ambassador for Chinese athletics.
Yeah.
That by the time he got to the game, you're like, damn, yeah, looks.
You know what it was?
He looks spent.
It was when Clemens was the all-star from the Astros when the all-star game was here, times 100.
Mm-hmm.
Because for everything Roger did for that week while the all-star game was here, times 100 what Yao had to do. And a couple quick things. One, when we went back for two games in the preseason against the Kings and we went to Beijing and Shanghai, and you know, you always hear stories about what happened with the Beatles and the popularity. We did an appearance at Yao's grade school.
Ooh.
And when we pulled in, and it was one of those kind of mini buses, there was about six of us on the bus, including Yao. When we pulled in, there were literally, I think, for two straight city blocks from the edge of the bus, you could go 10 deep in terms of how wide the people were on either side of the bus. And it went all the way for like, what, 2.5 city blocks to get to the school. So they had to clear a path for us to get in. They had to take a one-way street and block it off so we could get out. And he actually directed us to get to the hotel because he knew the area. But they were pushing the bus. They were rocking the bus. They had to get a look at Yao. And I said to Evan Gelbert, my camera guy at the time, I was like, this is what the Beatles felt like at the peak of what they were going through. It was nuts how popular and people always grabbing at trying to get a piece of Yao.
Yeah.
And the other story that I remember is his first game in the NBA, we played at Indiana. And he didn't play well at all. He looked awful. And we got on the bus to get on the plane. We had a back-to-back. We were playing somewhere the next night. And I remember calling Tim Frank, who was our old PR guy with the Rockets, who you remember, who is now head of PR for the NBA. And I said, Timmy, we got a problem. And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, this guy was awful. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to be the starting center in the All-Star game. He's going to beat out Shaq. This is going to be a huge embarrassment for the league because he can't play. And Tim was like, man, I mean, the vote's the vote, and it's got to go the way it's got to go. And I'm like, well, I hope he gets better, because if he plays like he did tonight, I'm really worried. And lo and behold, he got into a comfort zone. He kicked it into a gear. And I remember my big Yao moment that I remember was at Compaq Center against the Lakers on a national TV game on ESPN, and he dunked on Shaq, and we all stood back and went, oh, no, he gets it. He's going to be all right.
Man, I played my whole day around that game. I was in high school at that point.
Yeah.
And my whole day was like counting down for that, because that's, I mean, that's Lakers.
And normally those games don't lead up to the hype. Mm-hmm, they don't live up to the hype. That one did.
That was
and
crazy.
Those matchups were always great between him and Shaq. But when, you know, everybody's always like, well, Shaq's so much bigger and stronger and weighs so much more. When he punched that thing on Shaq, everybody was like, oh, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
We could have something here. And that's what made that rivalry start picking up with the Lakers again.
Yeah. And the Basketball Hall of Fame, guys, you got to remember, this isn't the NFL or MLB where it's really hard to get in. I mean, to the point where NFL Hall of Fame, you have guys doing PowerPoint presentations that they spend years preparing and all this, and the MLB.
That's the thing that people don't understand. Yeah. It's not just on the merits of your career. And literally, because it's all these old school voters that have these votes and like dangle it in front of you like a carrot, you have to lobby to get into the Hall of Fame.
There it is. In fact, Basketball Hall of Fame is one, like Rudy T's still not in. That
travesty.
That is politics, right? Like there's something happening there. But the Basketball Hall of Fame is legit, where it's legit because everyone gets in, like based on your basketball accomplishments, whether it be in the NBA, whether it be contributions to the game, all that good stuff. The NFL and MLB is more like who can suck up to a writer more and have somebody go to bat for them, right? And the MLB, Baseball Hall of Fame, excuse me, is the worst one because it's all about the writers. They will keep people out because, hey, you didn't respect the game and you did this and that, blah, blah, blah. All that
I'll
stuff.
Give you the one example. Yeah. The one shining example of how screwed up the system is. It's Terrell Owens, okay? Because you can hate T.O. as a person. You can be annoyed by his antics off the field. But statistically, when you look at the results that he produced over the body of work for his career, you cannot tell me he's not only a Hall of Famer, but arguably a first ballot Hall of Famer. The fact that he did what he did was a product and didn't go to the ceremony was a product of how screwed up the entire process is, was, and will be until they fix it.
It's a bunch of writers, bunch of media people that want to be the story when they're not the story, and they have to let people know that, hey, you don't disrespect the Hall of Fame, okay? Your punishment, you're not getting it until your final year. Because we're the story, not you guys, not the guys out there making the sacrifices, putting in the work, getting your heads rung, blowing out your knees. No, it's us, the guys that are making you famous. Like, guys, shut up. It's the worst.
All I remember is T.O. doing sit-ups in his driveway, and that's not enough to get him into the Hall of Fame. You buy me dinner and treat me to a couple of meals, I'll think about it. That's the way it goes. A
bunch of those riders should have followed suit and done some sit-ups in their driveway.
Yeah. They might still be able to see their toes and other things. But that's a story for another day. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Hey, look out. This talent show, The Suspects Have Talent, is what we're going to call it. The Suspects Have Talent comes up next, where we have a singing competition between Miles, Andrea, and Tom. We're going to let you guys vote a little bit, and then Nick and Raheel and I will vote, and we'll figure out. The winner gets two tickets to Journey and Def Leppard on Monday. Stay tuned. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. The bumping in the straight line. The going through a tight one. The guitar is in that mind.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, here we go. Knee-deep in hour number two of the show. It's The Usual Suspects. It's Raheel doing us a favor, stepping in for Barry. We're happy to have him. It's Nick and myself as we continue to roll on. We told you we actually have two pairs of tickets. So we definitely are going to give one pair away with a talent show type format that we're going to do right now. We set the criteria for you. You either got to sing Don't Stop Believing by Journey or a Def Leppard tune. We have three contestants. We will pick the winner, the three of us. You guys can chime in and give your opinions, but they will not alter the opinion of the judges. Much like the Hall of Fame, you can lobby all you want, but it's going to be our decision. And if we have a favorite that we like, even if you don't like it, tough. That's the way it goes. So without further ado, because we only have one segment till Sigmund Bloom, let's get into this, guys. We have Tom, we have Miles, and we have
actually,
Andrea.
My bad. Correction on that. The first caller, Tom, that's Kyle, not Tom.
Okay, Kyle. So let's get that intern to fix that. But yep. No, okay. Kyle is the caller on the top. But because we do things politely around here with etiquette, Andrea, you are going to go first in our Battle of the Suspects Have Talent challenge. Andrea, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, and what song will you be performing for us, Andrea?
Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
All right, and we're not going to have you do the whole song. So let's do
like 15 seconds?
15, 20 seconds.
Yeah. We'll cut you off.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh, my God. Okay. Okay, do I start now?
Can you hear the music?
Go.
Yeah, I hear it. No, I can't hear it.
Okay. Oh, you can do it without music.
Well, it's going to be, it's going to start in about 5 seconds.
Okay, okay, here. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, ready?
Yep. Just a small town
girl. Living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, raised in South Detroit. She took the midnight train going anywhere. A singer in a smoky room, a smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile, they can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on. Strangers waiting. Up and down the boulevard, their shadows searching in the night.
All right.
Streetlight.
Pretty good.
Okay, Andrea. Okay, all right. Yeah, no, appreciate it. Good effort. Good effort. Little.
That was really sad.
Took a liberty or two on the lyrics, but that's okay. So hang on. Hang tight. All right. Okay. We appreciate it. That was good. No, no, no. You don't have to keep saying. You're good.
You're good. We're all just right. Setting the tone.
So now we got two more contestants before we pick a winner for these tickets.
Hang on the line, Andrea, just
yeah,
in
Andrea,
case you
hang tight. All right, so, Nick, then we're going to go to Kyle. Kyle is going to be our next contestant on Suspects Have Talent. Kyle, are you there?
Yeah, what's up, Bill?
All right, Kyle. I assume you're also doing Journey's Don't Stop Believing.
No. I'm doing some Def Leppard, some Pour Some Sugar on the page.
All right.
Oh, okay. So you're going to get sweet with it. All right, let's go.
All right. So you start from the beginning. You're going to play music.
Yeah, start from the beginning. Let's go.
Step inside. Walk this way. You and me, babe. Hey, hey. Love is like a bomb, baby. Come on, get it on. Living like a lover with a fan phone. Looking like a tram, like a video van. Demolition woman, can I be your old man? I'll phone. Rattling and bezzling, flashing my light. Television lover, baby, go all night. Sometime, anytime, sugar me sweet. Little man, sugar, sugar on me. Oh, yeah. Come on. Take a bow. Shake it up. Break the bubble, break it up, pour some sugar on me. Wow. Pour some sugar on me. Come on, fire me.
Okay, Kyle.
You're good, bro.
The fantastic job. The air guitar was sound. Everything with it. Good stuff. All right, so hang tight. Don't hang up the phone. Got one contestant left. So you got Andrea, who did Don't Stop Believing. You got Kyle, who did Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Andrea, you can probably hang up.
That's just not
nice. See, that's not nice.
That's just not just
hang on the line, Andrea.
Between
you never
the
know.
Two, we know who's
but
winning right now.
You got a third contestant.
That's what I'm saying.
Miles has got a shot.
Miles, you can take it. Andrea,
Miles, not any pressure on you, but Raheel's already, he gets one vote. You can kind of tell where he's
leading. Yeah, I noticed.
So which song are you going with?
I'm going to go Don't Stop Believing just because I know all the lyrics.
All right. Then the stage is yours, sir.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit. It took the midnight train going anywhere. A singer in the smoky room. Smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile that can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on. Strangers waiting up and down the boulevard. Their shadows hiding in the night. Street lights, people.
Okay. Miles, good. All right.
Hiding
Miles.
Somewhere in the night.
Okay, Miles. All right, Miles.
Miles, follow rules.
Miles. Okay, good job. All right, so safe to say, two-horse race.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know if it's a two-horse race.
Oh, it's a two-horse race. Andrea, you can hang up again. You had a good run.
Andrea, thanks for playing. Yeah. Raheel has said, Nick, are you good with that? Are you...
You going to vote for Andrea?
I'm okay with that. Okay, bye.
All right, Andrea, we appreciate you participating. We do not have a participation trophy at this time, but we do give your farewell with kudos. Thank you for playing. All right, so it now becomes Kyle and Miles.
I think it's an easy pick for me.
Okay, who do you have?
Nick, who you got?
Miles.
You got Miles. Okay, so you get Miles with the extra vocals. Raheel, where are you going?
Man, I still like air guitar.
So that's Kyle.
Kyle.
All right, so it's 1-1.
It's on you now.
I could be Simon Cowell. I could make this decision.
I just want to Joel to pick the winner.
I don't think that either one of you guys
just put the pressure on him. Perfect job.
Neither one of you guys have the talent I was looking for in this competition. Okay, look, here's what we're going to do. We had two pairs of tickets to give away.
Oh, no, you can't cop out. No, you got to pick
a
winner.
I'm going to give one pair away right now.
Make them go together.
No, because they sang different songs.
Doesn't matter. They're same show.
Let's make them rap now.
It's Journey.
You know what we should do? We should make each one of them sing a song from the other group. So, like, Kyle has to do a Journey song, and Miles has to do a Def Leppard song, but then we'd lose every listener in the city.
They perform. Just pick one. We got to pick a winner.
Pick a winner.
I'm going to go Kyle. I like the fact that he's...
Oh, man, Miles.
Miles.
I'm going to let Kyle, because Kyle...
Y'all did Miles wrong.
No. Yo,
it's okay. Because
Kyle did the background vocals, the harmony, the air guitar. I had your back, Miles. Everything.
You had my vote, Miles.
No, Miles. It's not a shit. Look, if you get to the Super Bowl and you lose in the Super Bowl, it's okay. It's okay. There can only be one winner. So I'm going, Kyle. But Miles, stay on hold.
Yeah, Miles, hang on.
Kyle's the official winner, but Miles, stay on hold.
Kyle's the winner, but Miles, hang on for a second. Kyle, are you there? Kyle.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, congratulations, my man. You won. How long have you been a Def Leppard fan?
Do what?
How long have you been a Def Leppard fan, Kyle?
All my life, man. I mean, I'm only 34 years old, but, you know, 80s rock.
Did you have the British flag tank top?
No, I don't go that far. Really.
Okay. So you liked them when the drummer had all everything before the accident?
Yeah, sure.
Gotcha. All right. So you win. You're going to enjoy the concert. Congratulations. At Toyota Center this Monday. If you want tickets, toyotacentertix.com has tickets if you want to buy them. Kyle, you've won them. We congratulate you. A job well done, sir. All right, so hang tight, Kyle. We'll get your information. You can pick those up. And then, Miles, hang tight as well. All right, that's it for the Suspects Have Talent portion of the program. We're going to be joined by Sigmund Bloom next. He's going to talk some fantasy football. So now would be the time to call if you want to get your fantasy football questions out of the way. I know it's still preseason, but you got a week away from week one of the regular season. If you got questions, if you got drafts, if you got information you need to have answered by Sigmund Bloom, it's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It is The Usual Suspects on a Thursday. Barry's out, so Raheel is in. We appreciate him. Nick and I are here, present and accounted for, as we continue to roll on. You know how we do things around here. When we need information, we go to the experts. The expert that we have every Thursday at 2:30 is Sigmund Bloom. Sigmund Bloom, the utmost fantasy football expert that we know. We have him on the show. He is there for you guys to take advantage of, not physically, but in terms of the ability to manage your football team the right way. So without further ado, Sigmund, welcome to the show. We appreciate you.
I'm just still reeling at the idea of your listeners being able to take advantage of me physically.
I knew you would do that, but I knew that you'd also take it with a grain of salt and realize that,
yeah,
we can protect you from these usual suspects.
Thank you. There's a good distance. Distance is security.
We thought about having you join us for the singing contest last segment to win tickets to Journey and Def Leppard, in which you had to sing your favorite either Journey or Def Leppard song. Not that we'd put you through that, but if you were to participate, who would you pick and what song?
Oh, it would be Journey and Don't Stop Believin'.
There you
go. Although I do want to point out that South Detroit is Ohio.
Good point. Okay, fair point. Point to be taken. This is the kind of information you get, both with geography and with it numbers that you get from Sigmund Bloom. Okay, Sigmund, with a week one just a little ways away, obviously next week we start the season in earnest. Everybody's going to be ready to go. Just give us some things that are on your radar to give people tips on as we get closer to the regular season.
Well, we're now in the phase that we're starting to think about week one practice reports and week one matchups. And if you are drafting, there's not much more to add. I mean, we did learn that Doug Baldwin, he himself said he was 80-85%, and players are about as healthy as they're going to be all year right now. So that makes me worried about Doug Baldwin. That makes me worried about Russell Wilson, maybe like Tyler Lockett a little bit more. And I think that otherwise we're turning the page, and some of the first things we'll be looking for is Carson Wentz going to be ready to play on Thursday? He's probably not. So how does Nick Foles being the quarterback change things? We know Alshon Jeffrey is going to miss the game Thursday night, so that makes Nelson Agholor and Zach Ertz and maybe even the rookie Dallas Goedert a better play. It looks like Sony Michel is farther away from being able to play than Rex Burkhead, but based on the practice reports, we might think that James White is the running back to play when the Patriots face the Texans. So we're starting to think about what we're watching closely for as those practice reports come out next week.
And obviously when we're watching week four of the preseason, we're not worried about seeing good football because we know it's just about roster spots. But talk about, you mentioned Doug Baldwin. What about that Seattle wide receiver situation? Because when they picked up Brandon Marshall, everybody goes, oh, Doug Baldwin's finally got help. Now there's people out there talking about questioning whether Brandon Marshall even makes that team.
Right. So this one's going to be, and you're right to bring up that week four of the preseason can sometimes reveal things that later on become important. So for instance, the number five receiver for Seattle, if Baldwin's not able to play later on, we know Tyler Lockett has had some injuries in the past too. So you're right. There's their third round pick from last year, Amara Darbo, who's been really banged up. He's going to play in that fourth preseason game. And then there's Brandon Marshall, who's shown that, well, he looked better than he did last year for the Giants. He's going to cost more than Darbo. They have that pick invested in Darbo and a cheap rookie contract for the next 2 years if they keep him. So these kinds of spots, maybe the number four running back position for the Patriots, whether it's Jeremy Hill or Mike Gillisley, that could be one to watch. As we already know that two out of their top three running backs are hurt.
What do you think of Sam Darnold getting that starting job for the Jets, a rookie at quarterback for a team that already wasn't that good, but is he worth taking a flyer on in any fantasy football league?
In your two quarterback leagues, every quarterback that starts is rostered. Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be rostered for the first three games when Jameis Winston is suspended. Outside of that, no. But that being said, I think they're making the right decision. He's the kind of quarterback who I believe is going to learn on the job better than he is going to go into the incubator. And it does affect, however, players like Robbie Anderson or Isaiah Crowell and Bilal Powell, although it's not quite clear who the number one running back is there. There might not be a number one running back. But the effect of Sam Darnold being the starter instead of Josh McCown means that the whole offensive pie gets smaller, the slices of the pie get smaller. It means Jets players are probably less worth taking a chance on.
Got a couple questions on running backs in the NFC North. One, Dalvin Cook, will he be healthy, and is he a good pick as someone that people may be sleeping on? And two, who will be the running back in Green Bay to start the season?
Well, the running back in Green Bay will definitely be Jamal Williams to start the season. And it's looking more and more like even when Aaron Jones comes back from a suspension in week three, it will still be Jamal Williams. So if he's there, if you're drafting this weekend, he's there in the sixth, seventh round. That's one of the cheapest prices you're going to get on a starting running back other than Adrian Peterson, who is probably worth that seventh or eighth round pick that you would have to pay to get him. Carlos Hyde, Peyton Barber, Chris Carson, a couple of guys who've held off rookies. As far as Dalvin Cook goes, I'm cooling on him a little bit just because of the offensive line in Minnesota, and Latavius Murray looks a lot better than he did at this time last year. So I think Murray will get more significant work. I had Cook around the 10th overall player. I've moved him down to around the 15th or 16th overall player, so I wouldn't take him in the first round. But especially if you start out your draft with a wide receiver in the first round and you need to get your number one running back in the second round, I still think Cook is fine.
And if you get him in the second round, that's a steal. You should snap him up at that point.
Yeah, and you may be able to get him there because Christian McCaffrey has been moving up so swiftly that he's often going in the first round or even in the top 10 of drafts.
Someone wants to know, with the Lee injury at wide receiver in Jacksonville, who benefits the most? Is it Moncrief, D.D. Westbrook, or D.J. Chark?
Well, I would actually say the one guy I didn't name, Keelan Cole, who was the other player running in two wide sets. He had tremendous chemistry with Blake Bortles. There was a stretch last year that he was a top 10 or top 12 fantasy receiver down the stretch. But I think out of those three, I would say D.D. Westbrook, just because I thought they were going to have trouble getting him on the field as much with Cole and Lee. Moncrief has a lot of ability and is getting paid a lot, but hasn't looked as good as Westbrook and Cole. And Chark, I think that it still is maybe a year away from having a big impact.
Okay, keeper league, non-PPR, can keep two of Brady, Gronkowski, A.J. Green, or Fournette?
I would definitely take Fournette as one of those, just because you've got to get your number one running back.
Okay.
The other one would come down to Gronkowski or A.J. Green. I prefer Gronkowski. I think he's going to outdistance the competition at tight end. I'm not going to talk anybody out of keeping A.J. Green. It looks like Cincinnati's pass offense is going to be a lot better this year.
Okay. In a two-quarterback league, should I even take a chance on Baker Mayfield?
Sure. It depends on how many bench spots you have, but if it's the kind of two-quarterback league where people are going to hold on to all the rookie quarterbacks, you know, Josh Rosen and Lamar Jackson, and hold on to these quarterbacks who may get a chance to start at some time this year, Baker Mayfield, actually, if all five of the rookie quarterbacks were starting today, week one, I would say Baker Mayfield would have the best outlook. He looks like he's most ready for the NFL.
That's and you know how many people I'm wondering how many people are influenced in their drafts by watching Hard Knocks, because we already know Vegas
right.
is.
I think it absolutely influences us, and it may not be a bad thing that it influences us, because what we're seeing behind the scenes is translating to what we see on the field.
Absolutely. Okay. Texter says, I drafted Saquon Barkley. My next best running back is Crowell or Duke Johnson. Someone just offered me LeSean McCoy and Royce Freeman for Saquon Barkley. Am I crazy for wanting to do that trade in a full PPR league?
You're not crazy, but I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
And I still think that Royce Freeman, as good as he looks, is going to be held back a bit by Denver still wanting to give Devontae Booker a lot of work, at least at the beginning of the season. I feel like LeSean McCoy is going to have a season of futility because of the Buffalo offense. With Saquon Barkley, you went ahead and made that big investment. It sounds like he's going to be ready to go for week one. And I would stick with that at this point, because I think that that high upside that he provides every week is not going to be matched by Freeman and McCoy. And those other running backs, Johnson and Crowell, will be fine fill-ins. I mean, I'm not sure that LeSean McCoy is going to be that useful in any given week. He'll get you five or six catches, 60, 80 total yards. But the Buffalo offense looks like it's going to clearly be the worst in the league.
What's your thoughts on Lamar Miller? I mean, we know that he's been a guy that everybody questioned his durability, but then a couple seasons ago, but with his catches out of the backfield and all the yards he got, he looked like he could be someone that could be a really good piece to someone's fantasy football teams. But even in as Texas
yeah,
fans know, in the preseason, they're kind of wondering what they're going to expect from him this year.
You know, I actually find myself taking Lamar Miller a lot in the fourth round of drafts. So I'm taking him over players like Kenyon Drake, Jay Ajayi, Royce Freeman, who we just mentioned. I would take him over LeSean McCoy. Alex Collins is another running back I like around that time. But I agree with you that he could be a really nice piece of fantasy teams, because he's going to be the lead back in a good offense. And he's closer to the weight he was in Miami. I think when they bulked him up when he came to Houston, he lost some of the explosiveness, even though he held up a little bit better for a while. That was something I think that held him back as far as his potential for explosive plays. He looks more like that quick, explosive back that they got when they signed him coming out of Miami. And I just think that this offense is going to produce a lot of yards for him as a receiver, some touchdowns. Last year, in the short time he played with Deshaun Watson, he had two games with two touchdowns. And I think you're going to see that happening more frequently this year, too.
There you go. That's good stuff. Okay, before we get out of here, one call. Lawrence wants to get in here. Lawrence, make it quick. You're on with Sigmund Bloom.
Yeah, how you doing? My draft today is at 6 o'clock. And when I didn't play last year, but I used to pick two running backs, first round and second round. Do you still think that's a good idea? I hang up and listen.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Yeah, I think starting running back, or taking running backs early is definitely called for this year. Wide receiver is really deep. You can definitely wait on quarterback. And I like taking Rob Gronkowski in the second round, but I wouldn't talk anybody out of taking a running back in the second round, too.
Sigmund, we do appreciate your time. We got to roll to a break. Footballguys.com. Check him out. Ask questions. Be a part of his following, because it's definitely worth it. You can also follow him at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter. Either way, he is going to make you believe very quickly. He knows what he's talking about. He can help you with your fantasy teams, people. Sigmund, as always, have a great weekend. We appreciate it. Looking forward to week one next week. All right, Sigmund Bloom, there you go. Probably got more to do than talk on our show. So he's got stuff to keep him busy crunching numbers.
That dude was like, you guys done? All right, good, bye.
I'm sorry, rapid fire. He knows his stuff. So, all right, we'll be back with more of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the big show. Barry is in Kansas doing some comedy, so we appreciate Raheel filling in for him. If you missed anything throughout the show today, I encourage you to get back on your podcast listening habits. And whether you use podcastarena.com or you go to ESPN975.com, whichever way you choose to do it, go back and listen, because we had a Suspects Have Talent singing challenge to win tickets to Journey and Def Leppard. We had Sigmund Bloom on to talk fantasy football, gave you a lot of good tips. If your draft is like Lawrence's, which is tonight, gave you some good information to go get. So that was very, very cool. And lots of other things on the show. So we also talked about Manu Ginobili retiring, and then Raheel was going to lead into what we're going to get to next, because we teased it. The fact that, believe it or not, there are athletes in professional sports that played in the 90s that are still playing today. There are eight, correct?
Believe it.
Eight. Okay, eight total across all sports.
There's 12 total. A lot of hockey guys.
So you're taking out the hockey guys.
I'm going to take out the hockey guys because I don't have any insight on them. But here are some ones from the NFL and specifically MLB, NBA.
I get one in the NFL for sure.
Okay, name it.
Adam Vinatieri.
Yep.
Okay.
Another one, another kicker. Two kickers from the NFL. Which makes sense, right? They have the longest
longevity, and they don't get hit and everything like that. Is it the Niners kicker? I forget. Akers?
Cardinals. Phil Dawson is the other one right now.
All right.
Brady's going to have just as many years as these guys when it's all said and done. Because I think Brady's going for another 3 years.
Oh, yeah. He'll still play.
Right? Like, he's still going to get going.
And I don't wish this upon anybody. Unless he gets injured, there's no doubt he plans to play a couple more years.
Because Tom Brady, his draft was 2000. Phil Dawson made his debut in 99. So we're talking about a difference of a year, right? Same thing, pretty much. The fact that Brady's done it at the quarterback position is unreal. Okay, so that's just a little Brady deal right there. But Dawson and Adam Vinatieri are the two kickers in the NFL. NBA, I think you can name all three. One is currently a free agent. The other two are signed.
Really?
Yeah. One is a free agent, part of the Headband Brothers.
Jason Terry.
Jason Terry's one.
I thought he had 1 year left in Milwaukee.
No, he's a free agent.
Okay.
Free agent right now, according to the list.
Okay, so Jason Terry, Nene?
Nope.
No?
The other, don't overthink it. The other two are, like, when I tell you the names, you're going to be like, yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
Don't overthink it.
All right.
Dallas, Dirk.
Oh, okay. All right.
Dirk. And then,
wow. I know he's been slipping, but he's sliding a long way along the line. There's nothing wrong with that. So Dirk, Jason Terry, two former Mavericks.
Come on. And one left, North Carolina.
Oh, Vince Carter. Carter. Okay.
Those are three from the NBA.
Okay.
Vince Carter has, I know he's not playing on any contenders by any means, but he really has like perfected the last part of his career. Now, he understands it.
He's one of those guys, though, Raheel, which is why it surprised me that he signed with Atlanta. He's one of those guys that have been there, done that. Put up the numbers, the dunk competitions, you know, been the poster boy for high flyers and all the different things he's done, but he needs to win a ring.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that he'd be one of those guys that tries to latch on with a contender, one of the guys that Golden State would put on the end of their bench, for instance. You know, in case they needed him in a clutch situation, knows that he'd play smart, he'd do the right thing, instead of like a Nick Young. But he goes to Atlanta. I don't know if that means later in the season Atlanta looks to trade him somewhere if he shows he can still perform. But yeah, in terms of his career, there's a guy that you got to be sneaky about. He may make the Hall of Fame simply because of longevity. He played long enough that his numbers are going to sit there with some of the guys that are in the Hall of Fame. That's going to be interesting. Yeah.
All right, MLB, Adrian Beltre from the Rangers.
Still can play.
Still playing.
Got his 3,000th hit recently. Yep. Okay. Is that it? Cologne.
There you go.
Okay.
I was going to say, we got a Cy Young winner in Bartolo.
Yep.
And then that's it. Yeah, those are the ones from the sports that we would recognize. You know, with hockey, there are some bigger names there, but I'm not going to go through that list because...
You're not a hockey guy.
Well, I'm a Golden Knights guy.
Vegas.
Love my Golden Knights.
Okay.
Been day one fan.
Right, because you jumped on from year one, which was this year.
As soon as I could, I jumped on.
Okay.
Remember going to games with my dad.
Stop it.
Yeah.
So you went to a game with your dad this last year.
Yeah, man. Big All Golden Knights. Right. Our family, that's a...
I got a buddy of mine that works in the ticket department in Vegas.
Yo, my daughter loves the Golden Knight. You know, when they do the pregame, show, she lost her mind during the Stanley Cup Finals. Wow. Because it's a production.
Huh?
It was like watching Tangled on the ice.
Well, it's Vegas, so it has to be, right? Because there's so many things to do in Vegas. You have to entice these people to want to go to see hockey in the desert. That's a bit of a challenge. So you've got to make it, like, I've seen some of their in-game stuff from not only the intros to, like, between periods and stuff. They go all out.
Yeah. But they play at T-Mobile, and that's a great venue, too. So.
Yeah, newer arena, right?
I heard you're going there.
Yeah.
That's the rumor floating around.
It is, with the Blitz.
Look at you.
For the Canelo fight, yeah.
Canelo fight?
Before I forget,
Damn, son.
Before I forget, though, Tony Parker, isn't that a kind of an honorable mission, too? Even though the first, because it said...
He's with the Hornets, so he's still
2000,
playing.
2001, he played overseas. But his professional...
Debut was...
99.
Okay.
Technicality. You're looking for a technicality, Nick, essentially, is what you're doing.
Honorable mention. Honorable mention.
Yeah, you're right. 99. Absolutely. You're right.
What about Nene?
When was Nene's debut?
Because Nene played professionally... Before he came into the league from Brazil, right?
Ah, yeah. So he could probably fall in that category as well.
Nene Hilario.
But Parker's only 36.
He's been playing
professionally since 99. That's crazy.
Good money, Chief.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that.
Oh,
don't hate the player, hate the game, because they are collecting checks.
Oh, just
you're still looking for Nene?
If you're a friend of his, just be careful.
Of whose?
Why, he might bang your wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially if you have a significant other.
I'm trying to find when was his professional debut for Nene. I can't find it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I apologize. Sorry to the people.
Why does someone text Vince effing Carter and then S. Joel? Okay, I got it. Relax. I guessed it.
Relax. It's a guy's show. We're
there
building
no
up
time
to
limit?
We're edging to the answer,
Come
guys.
Come on, people.
99, you're right. He plays for Vasco da Gama from 99 to 2002.
So there's another technicality, Nick, or honorable mention, as you say.
There you go.
So there you have it. All right, so we've got plenty to get to in the final hour of the show. Lots of things on the agenda, including a change to NBA rules. We can get to that. Obviously, the Texans play tonight against the Dallas Cowboys. We appreciate you guys realizing it's not a big deal, but Week 5 will be. So we've got 60 minutes on the clock. We'll get to that in just mere minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.